about this. What happened was, Brihaspati's son, Kacha, he wanted to learn the science. He was sent by Indra and the other demigods. You should go to Shukra Acharya and learn this Mrityu Sanjeevani mantras. Because when the demigods were fighting the demons and killing the demons, then the demons were rejuvenated by the force of the mantras chanted by Shukracharya. So the demigods' work of killing them was moot. They thought, this is not good. Somebody should learn it. So they sent Brihaspati's son to learn. Vrishaparva, he understood that something chatur was going on. So he tried to stop it. Shukracharya saw that you are Brihaspati's son and you want to be my disciple. Oh, you're from a very exalted Brahmin family. Okay, no problem. Vrishaparva understood something is up. Okay, so he watched very carefully. So Kacha served Shukracharya very, very nicely. So he would go out, Simitpani, he would go out and collect firewood for the yajna, which householders have to do. Five yajnas a day, and Shukracharya was a Brahmin who was doing it. So Kacha was helping his Gurudev do those yajnas by collecting the wood. Simitpani, he was collecting the wood. Pani means in the hands. In the hands, you're holding simit, firewood, for doing yajnas. So Kacha would go like that. Vrishaparva would go and get him, okay, while he was out in the forest. So what they did is Vrishaparva killed him while the boy was collecting firewood for his guru. And Devyani, she was attached to Kacha. She had her eyes on Kacha. Father, father, Kacha has not come back. What has happened? Father, you must do something. So Shukracharya meditated and understood that Kacha has become killed by Vrishaparva in the forest. So, and Vrishaparva killed the boy, threw his body, and went away. So by chanting the mantra, he brought Kacha back to life. And Kacha picked up his firewood and went back to his guru. And Vrishaparva was like fuming. You know, like this. And Devyani was happy. My boyfriend's back, you know. She was happy. Okay? Oh, father, your disciple, my boyfriend, is back. You know? So she was happy. Okay? Vrishaparva thought, you know, this is really bad, you know, I've got it. So next time, he killed the boy, cut him into pieces, scattered his body members, and animals ate it. In the meantime, he didn't come home. And Devyani goes, father, father, your disciple, you know, Kacha's not back. What to do? So Shukracharya did meditation again, understood Vrishaparva, killed the boy, scattered his limbs, the animals ate it, and it's in the belly of the animals. Okay? So he chanted the mantra, and the bellies of the animals blew up. Boom! And like Lego, you know? The body came back. And the boy picked up his firewood and came back home. Devyani was happy. Your disciple, my boyfriend, is back. And Vrishaparva was like, you know, he's like completely angry. Next time he says, I'm going to really get this boy. So what he did, he killed him, cut up his body, burnt it in bhasma, into ashes, took the bhasma and put it in sura, in liquor, and gave it to Shukracharya to drink. This is Yajna Shishta, you know. And Shukracharya drank it. So when Devyani goes, father, father, Kacha has not come back. What to do, father? Then Shukracharya meditated and understood, oh, his body was burnt into ashes and I drank it. Then he said, Kacha, are you available? Yes, Gurudev. In the Akash he was hovering. I will teach you this mantra, Mrityu Sanjeevani mantra. And are you ready to hear it? Yes, Gurudev. So then he spoke the mantra, step by step. Do you understand the mantra? Yes. Now, do what is necessary for your Gurudev. So, Shukracharya chanted the mantra, his stomach blew up, and the ingredients of the Bhashma became restored like Lego, you know, back to the body of Kacha. Kacha was restored back in his body. Kacha chanted the mantra, and Shukracharya was restored. Okay? So we got what he wanted. Now, improved, it works. I got what I wanted. I was sent by Indra and the other demigods. Probably Skanda, somebody patched the plan. Skanda's the commander-in-chief of the demigods. Probably Skanda, I don't know. Hatched the plan that Kacha should go. I got what I wanted now. I learned the Mrityu Sanjeevani mantra. Now I can go back to Swarga. My brahmacharya is over. Oh, your brahmacharya is over, Devayani said. So you can marry me now. Nope, you are the daughter of my guru. So you will always be in a superior position. It's not good. So her desire was frustrated. She got very angry. So she cursed him. Whatever mantras you got from my father will not be effective. Okay? Wait a minute. At my point, Kacha said, of not marrying you because you are the daughter of my guru is completely valid. It's completely valid. Your curse is in the mode of passion. It's not valid. Therefore, I curse you that you will not marry a Brahmin. You will marry a Kshatriya. You're too passionate. You're too passionate of a girl to marry a Brahmin. You will marry a Kshatriya. This is why she married Yayati later on. Interesting stuff. He went back to the heavenly planets and, you know, he said, so I will accept your curse. The mantras may be not good by my voice, but whoever I will teach it to, it will be effective. So Kacha taught everybody else, naturally, the mantras, you know. And he didn't care if it was not effective for him or not. You know, it just whoever he was gave. So Vrishaparva and Shukracharya, they go way back, you know. They know each other's and each other's moods and each other's problems. And because of this whole story, because Vrishaparva was trying to kill Kacha, he knew that this girl is very attached to this boy, and father, you know, is very attached to his daughter's satisfaction and like that, and acts according to what his daughter says. Because 3-4 times his designs to kill the boy was foiled by Shukracharya, you know. And it made Vrishaparva completely angry, you know. So they go back, way back, okay? So they know each other's pressures. So Vrishaparva was under pressure for his daughter, Sharmista. And Shukracharya is under pressure due to Devayani. So, understanding that he was going to be cursed, Vrishaparva came and offered obeisances to his Gurudev. And that he was angry at first, but he was pacified, seeing the good behavior of his disciple. So he spoke frankly his mind. Okay? So that is very instructive. Although there's no purport, the instruction is, well, there is a purport. This is 27. He was angry for a few moments. The lakshana, in this case, is therapeutic anger must be short-lived. And Chanakya Niti mentions that about a 5-year-old person, laliyata bahavo dosha, if you fondle the child, you cause all faults to occur in the child. And tadena bahavo guna. And if you constructively criticize, it causes all good qualities to be there. Tasmat, therefore, shishang chaputrang cha, whether it is your son or whether it is your disciple, tadayan, constructively criticize, not to lala yet, and don't flatter. So that's there. Okay? So that's there. So, seeing his Vrishaparva's mentality, then Shukracharya mellowed out. All right, he's trying to act within his capacity. Very good. So then he said, look, as a father to a father, I'm telling you frankly, you know, I cannot give up my daughter's desires and I have to side with her and I really don't like it. You know, please fulfill her desire. So Vrishaparva agreed, knowing the next shloka says that understanding that satisfying his Gurudev will be good for him and his dissatisfaction will cause him pain, ultimately speaking, it's viable to go along with it. Sharmish's life is not long. Devyani's life is not long. But the pleasure of the spiritual master is imperishable. It will go on far beyond Devyani's life, far beyond Sharmish's life. So Tathastu, let it be so now. Let Gurudev be happy and let her daughter be happy momentarily. It is called, it's a tact. The kings did it. They did alliances with their enemies, you know, marry their daughter to some gundas. Like Akbar's wife was Jodhabai. Huh? It's very, very common, you know, like that. Bring the enemy in by alliance, by that, and then pacify them. So it was very typical Kshatriya stuff. Very typical Kshatriya stuff. So Vrishaparva is acted according to Kshatriya Dharma. It's a short-term thing, nah. But long-term thing is that Shukracharya should be happy with us. So let's go along with it. It's not a big deal. Ultimately, we found out that Sharmishta and Devyani, they both won. They both got what they wanted in the end anyway. You know, if you don't get it this way, you're going to get it this way. But they're going to get it, you know. So basically they did so. These Kshatriya ladies are smart girls and they got what they wanted, you know. I think the Punjabis would approve, you know. They got what they wanted in the end, you know, so it was good. So the story goes there that Vrishaparva and Shukracharya, they go way back. Now there are different levels of it. Of this, to see this. From different devotees, we'll see different paradigms. For the grahasthas, the paradigm is the anger should be therapeutic. Of course, that can holds true for brahmacharis also, because we have to do congregational preaching to the public. And the anger must be there. Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad mentions in Madhurya Kadambani, the anger is there if they don't see any hope for reform. That is why a Vaishnava's anger would be continuous. If there's no chance for reform. So for reform to be effective, anger should be therapeutic. It should be short term. That holds true for a householder and why would it be short term? Now, that's also there. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami would not be angry with some person who had fault, even though it was validious. It was good. It was worthy. Because he saw that Krishna was the judge. Let Krishna judge, who am I? It's like that, like Vishnu Dharmottara, that a dushtu can have Tulsi neck beads. Not that we like it, but we can't do anything about it. If somebody wants Tulsi neck beads, they can go down to Bulashwar, to CP Tag, and get them. How are we supposed to stop it? No? How are we supposed to stop it? And Tulsi Rani will do her job anyway. You know, and that the police force, Yamadutas, will not go there. So even if they're taking Jack Daniels and Chicken Tikka and all that stuff, we don't like it that they're buying Tulsi neck beads, but we can't do anything about it. And she's worshipped by the demons and the demigods. She will purify anybody, even if they treat her as an herb. We don't like her body to be exploited, but she's ready to help them, even to a lesser degree. Potentially a lesser degree, like that. She's very compassionate on the jivas. That's nice. We learn a lot of things. For compassion in the situation, Vrishaparva surrendered like that. And ultimately, it was a temporary arrangement, and both girls are smart. They got what they wanted anyway, ultimately. They judged the sensitivity of the situation, and they did the needful, and they got what they needed anyway. That's one way of looking at it. Anger should be therapeutic. It should be short-term. Because otherwise the person will take a grudge that you have something against you personally. And the medicine will not work. The next thing is, anger is there. Even if I have anger and we don't see that it's working, maybe I'm not the person to deliver the medicine. Who is the right person to deliver the medicine to XYZ offender? A well-wisher of that person, or the person who they'll listen to, is the person who should deliver the medicine. So you glorify everybody in public and you chastise behind closed doors with a certain select group of well-wishers who deliver the medicine. So it's the most effective. You want the medicine to be taken in the most effective way. That's the point. And Sri Krishna is behind it, and Tulsi Rani is behind it, because nothing happens without their glance. Nothing will happen. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it, the renunciates will look at it in another way. That Vrishaparva was attached to his daughter's plan, Sharmishtha. And Shukracharya was attached to Devayani's plan. And he had to suffer a long time, you know. When Yayati was, as a Kshatriya king, he married Devayani. And ultimately, as a Kshatriya king, he satisfied Sharmishtha, the maidservant also, the daughter of the king also. So both girls had their own rights. And Shukracharya got angry, you know, because Devayani flipped out and cursed Yati. And then Yati lost his, became an enfeebled old man. And then later on, he had to give his old age. He had to give his youth to Puru, and Puru gave the youth and enjoyed it for a while and then handed it back to his father. And, you know, generational gap. Pain is long felt. It takes a long time. So the attachment of these two grahasthas, whether they're Vrishaparva or Shukracharya for their daughters, is something to note. And Prabhupada was referring to it in 8th Canto, chapter 22, verse 9, when Bali Maharaj is arrested by the ropes of Varuna, then by Garuda, and his resolve is tested and the fire of ordeal. All of his property was stolen by Vamandev. You promised 3 steps of land. You didn't give it all. I'm arresting you. Arrested him with the ropes of Varuna. And he said, Kim atmananena jahati yavantata? What is the use of this body that leaves up its owner at the time of death? Kim, what is the use of? Riktaharai svajana kadasyubi. The relatives that the plunders that steal all the money that can be offered for Krishna. Prabhupada was laughing in the lecture. If a burglar comes, you call the police. But if your spouse and child you comes, this is love. How they pick my pocket? Legalized burglar. The male child picks the mother's pocket. And the female child picks the father's pocket. One grahastha in Alachua told me, I am 58 years old. My mother is 85 and I'm still picking my mother's pocket. Common stuff. Sometimes the child is unable to work or destitute, the parents will step in. In the CIS, parents are shocked sometimes that the children still live in their house, you know, like that. In America, when the recession was there, one old man was said, I thought I was finished raising my kids. You know, my kids moved back in with me, you know. The joke is there. When the child asks his father, how much it costs to get married? He says, I don't know. I'm still paying for it, you know. In Rajasthan, they have a saying, with a daughter, you only have to pay once at her dowry. But a male child, you're paying for the rest of your life, you know. Because he's going to bring his wife in the house, and, you know, you end up, your bills will not end, no? Until you die, you know. Like that. And the brahmacharis and the renunciates, we go, yeah. We got no regrets, nah? Because putrahinam griham shunyam. If you don't have a child, your household life is void. But if you don't get married, then the only children you have are disciples. You know, so it's good. When one of my brother's third wife wrote me a letter, this is another joke that Jayadvita Maharaj said, tathadehantara prapti does not mean changing bodies from one husband to another husband. One wife to another wife. And dearest tatra namuyati, self-realized sages should not be bewildered by such a change because it's Videshi Baba. Now previously, it's only happening in Bombay, Chennai, Delhi, like that, right? But now it's even the rural areas of India are being affected by divorce. It's happening. It's Deshi Wala, Videshi Bangaya with the Deshi Masala Sat. Basically, that's it. And this causes extreme disgust amongst the renunciates. It forces us, at least we should become good brahmacharis. At least we should become good renunciates. Because if your mind and senses are controlled, your reputation follows you like a shadow. And if your mind and senses are not controlled, your reputation follows you like a shadow. The problem is, when you're a team, jugmam, the other person's ability to control the mind and senses or not are stuck on you. Lag gaya. Pap lagega. You're going to get stuck with it. You pay the bill. And your reputation will also suffer. In Kali Yuga, people are ready to close eyes to burnt reputation in the sake of prayas, for the sake of sense gratification. Immediate sense gratification, we're ready to forego. And this is why divorces and remarriage is gaining tax. Because prayas, prayasi, sense gratification is the norm, right? And Shreyasa, who cares for that? Shreyasa is only good as much as it promotes prayasa. Your ultimate benefit is only good if it's going to promote future sense gratification. Krishna. So when you see all this jamela going on in society, when you see all that, then it makes the brahmacharis think, whoa, look in the mirror. Am I really a brahmachari? Brahmacharati iti brahmachari. We have to preach more so that people's spiritual life will be absorbed in Krishna, so their principles will back it, you know. One who is spiritually absorbed is really a brahmachari, whether they're grahastha brahmacharis or they're other brahmacharis, right? There's different ways of looking at it. Yes, that's the outlook, right? Because we have to do preaching, we have to do congregational development, we have to help the public, right? That's one way of looking at it. Privately, the brahmacharis will gloat. Do you see why I never got married? And householders that are good, that are substantial, will agree. Yeah, it was a good tact. It was good tact. When my brother's third wife told me about her stepson that she was training, I can't believe it. The kid went from a pain in the side at the age of 19, pushing 20, to a human being in 6 months. I can't believe it, she said. And I said, do you see why I never got married? I never had a child. I never got married. So can't you understand why I never got married? It's their problem, not mine. Huh? It's their kid, not mine. It's their legalized burglar. It's not my legalized burglar. When it's your legalized burglar, then you have to think pro and con, you know, what should I do? You know, like that. You know, what is the Vedic etiquette? Like that. Legalized burglar can mean your child or your disciple. So you have to advise them accordingly, you know. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to pay for it, although that happens sometimes. But you should advise properly. And the consequences are on the person who owns the problem. You're not going to take the consequence off their shoulder. They still own the burden. We're advising you what is the Vedic idea, what is the proper thing to do. Now you take the decision, what is practical. But privately you're saying, gee, I got no regrets. I never got married, never had kids. Gee, no regrets. Krishna and Gauranga is cheaper and sweeter, you know? And even if you're a householder with many children and like that, you still have to love Gornatai. You still have to love Krishna. You still have to set a good example. And it's the same thing. Our philosophy is Vishesha Amritapan. Drink some nectar that is very specific for you. Because if you can't get that, forget your teammate. And if you can't empower them to get the nectar that sustains them, forget your children or your disciples. Forget it. You have to set an example for them. Forget it. And if you can't help your disciples or your children get the nectar that sustains them, you know, by making it more attractive than their distractions, forget your community. Because your community is not going to believe it. They're going to look at your lifestyle and say, well, what are you doing practically yourself? Why are you trying to convince me to do something? So there's so many ramifications of this. When you look at this story here in the Bhagavad, I was reminded from Mahabharata. And, you know, it's not the first time. When you look at Mahabharata, that, you know, that story in Adi Parva, you know, it's just a good line. But it happens all the time. It happens all the time. It must have happened all the time. It just happened to be recorded in Mahabharata because it was a good one, you know? It was a good one. All right. Wow, this is the fastest class that I've ever given. Jadwiga Maharaj can give the whole class in 20 minutes and have quick questions and answers for 45. And he can blow them away with a half of a sentence. Editors are edited, nah? Every word that comes out of their mouth is edited. You know? I was impressed. 20 minutes he'll give the class. He won't repeat himself. Everything is succinct to the point. And he ends it. End of story. Wow. And then he answers questions that are even better than the class. And I was impressed. That was in Mayapur many years back. He's good. Sadhu Maragano Gamanam. We're trying to follow. This is why when I look, I go, good, it's only 33 minutes. I have to be shocked myself. You know, it's not my nature to give such a fast class. Let us serve the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis now. You have a question, Srinath? Is there a mic now? Is there any mic to pass around? Wireless mic, anything like that? Preferably wireless. Preferably wireless. Yeah, we'll give it to him now. Otherwise, how are the people in the back going to hear his question? Right? Whoever has got the question should wait for the mic. Speak clearly so that everybody can hear the question, please.
The story is saying that Shukracharya unnecessarily got agitated by the situation. He should not have done that. So it is recommended that one should be a dhira or a controlled person in provoking situations, although he knows that something is wrong. So how one has to train himself to be composed in such situations?
Seventh canto, chapter 15, verse 23 says, Dambad Mahad Upasaya. If you have some arrogance or some, you know, bhava, some mentality, Dambad, you're proud. It means you're proud of your mentality. You think it's good. Dambad Mahad Upasaya, you serve a great soul. They'll teach you what is forbearance. If somebody is more forbearant than you, you serve them, then you go, well, my previous situation is not so bad, really. After all, it could be worse, you know. you rise up in your forbearance. That's how it is. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that any person that goes through a situation has to always think about the ramifications and what it would have been if it would have been different and what would I should have done, if I should have done better, and so many ways of looking at it. You know? Or, yeah. Something else? Yes, Prabhu. What time do we have to stop? It means we got 40 minutes. Woo! Nice question and answer session. 40 minutes. Very good. Dena.
Can I ask you a question which is not directly related to the class?
Later. Is any Maharaji's got a question? It'd be nice if we do it 50-50, but you know. Proportion in the class is probably about 25%. Okay, if we get 1 out of 4, I should be happy. I will ask for 50-50, but I can settle for 25%. Kakatu nai tuanda mama seye. You know, something is better than nothing, no? So, would any Maharaji like to give me a question kindly? Huh? We would prefer the question in relation to the subject. We will go back to his question later. He's in queue. Like the old days with Mahanagar Telephone Nigam. Please wait, you were in queue. Please wait, you were on hold. Please wait, you were in queue, you know? How long do I gotta hang and wait? Tatraloi. Well, one thing is good. If he was really greedy, then maybe he's thinking, I'm not getting my question right now, but I want it now, so I should repackage the question so that it formats the class. Yeah, so you get in this way, you know? Yeah, that's another way of looking at it. When will he get his question answers? Depends on how he packages his question and how it's greedy. Yeah, there's different ways of looking at it. There's no question from the Maharajis? Come on, you have to give me one, no? If you ask any Koibi Prashna, then you have to wait in the queue. If you give a question according to the class, then that is better packaged, you know. Turn the mic on, huh? Huh? It's on? It's damned if you do and damned if you don't. You follow me? If you don't give them Tulsi neck beads, then your reputation suffers. You follow? If you do give their Tulsi neck beads to them, people will say, what did you give it for, that rascal person? The Vishnu Dharmottara Shloka is quite clear that even if a Dushta wears it, then the Yamadutas will not go there. It means, obviously, in the past, Dushtus wear it. Why? It was tradition. My father did it. My mother, you know, put it on my neck when I was a small baby, and, you know, it's been there, you know, even though I didn't really live up to what she wanted me to do, but, you know, like that. Tulsi's been there, done that, nah. And Archita Twam Surasarai, she's served by the Asuras. So she's helped people that were not devotees before. She's helped it. And Tulsi Sevita Punyo Admano Hitamichata. In Padma Purana, Tulsi Stavit says, she is served by those who desire their own benefit. Even a selfish rascal should serve her. At least he should know where to go to get your fastest benefit. Yeah, there's so many things on that. You may not, I would give it with writers. We don't really approve of this, personally. But we can do nothing to stop it. Just like when I was in Juhu in the 80s, say from 1990 to 93, I had a Sangirtan bus and I was going to Andhra Pradesh and these places. And we sold Tulsi Kanti like that. Pictures, this and that, to put the diesel in the tank for the bus. We didn't, you're not going to ask the people, you know, are you a chicken tikka wala? Are you a sharabi wala? You know? We're not gonna interrogate them. They're buying some japa mala or some Tulsi neck beads, you know. Yeah, sure, go ahead now. You know, we take their money and ask questions later, you know. I mean, that was the bottom line in those days. What could you do, you know? We couldn't do anything about it, ultimately. And also you have to your vivastati, your discrimination of whether to refuse them or not means if I refuse, will the person come around anyway? And if I don't refuse, are they determined enough to buy the Tulsi neck beads anyway? Whether they go down to CP Tank in Buleshwar and get it anyway, or they're going to get it in Vrindavan, if they're determined, they're going to get it anyway. So if they're determined, might as well give it to them anyway. And I've also seen stories practically that chicken tikka wallas, smokers, sharabi wallas, by serving Tulsi Rani, within 6 months they became devotees. I've seen it. I've seen it. In Moscow, I saw it with my own eyes. You can put the thing, oh, there was peer pressure, roommate pressure, you know, insulation. But, you know, it was pretty good. Tulsi Rani did it. She knows, she's a lot more far-fetched and a lot more tolerant than we understand. And she's interested to purify them. That's why Pundarik says, of all types of worshipable personality, there's nothing better than her. Because of her, she purifies the people and she awards them the association of her husband and turns the whole world to Vaikuntha. My understanding of Pundarik is that no kavi will write something in Sanskrit unless there must be some other pramanam to back him. Reverse engineering means to find those pramanams that might have inspired the acharya to write thus. That's the point. His statement is good. Another statement that got me curious was that Tulsi Rani is protecting the moving and non-moving living entities everywhere. How does she protect? Then later on I stumbled across Tulsi Kavacham from Skanda Purana. That Skanda was in a big fight to the death with Taraka Asura, Nakshatra Sura. Taraka Asura, star-like demon, very subtle, Very subtle, very influential. And Skanda was being worn down by that. And he said, Father, what do I do? Lord Shiva gave the Tulsi Kavacham to him. He got energy and he defeated and killed Tarakasura. Pretty cool. I'm led to get a shloka by shloka of that. We will. Trust me. I'll eventually get it. BBT style shloka by shloka of Tulsi Kavacham. The bottom line is she can do anything. So you're leaving it to her. All right, Lali. All right, Mata. Jagan Mata. Kindly you do it. It's very funny. When I asked my sannyas guru in Belarus once, amongst your disciples, how much is it your responsibility and how much is it Krishna's responsibility? Very funny thing. He answered it like this. The spiritual master should think it's all his responsibility. The reality is Krishna does most of it. I loved it. You know, you, like a householder, you're trying for your children, right? But there, one householder in Uganda recently, in December, he told me this. It blew my mind. Children are legal are expensive accidents. My God. He's a Gujarati friend of mine. How you could say that? Like it or lump it, it's true, nah? He said, people may say that. If your child is a devotee, be happy. You're lucky. And if your child is not, well, they're expensive accidents. It's for your vairagya, you know? And I think any householder worth his or her salt, you know, when they're 50 years old or 60 years old, will agree 100%. Yeah, it's like that. It was very hilarious when he said that to me. I go, that's heavy stuff, but it's real. He goes, it may be heavy, but it's true. No. I really liked it. You know, it's good. Our association should purify us. Next, you know what the next thing to do for that person? Here is another thing. I have given this person Tulsi neck beads. Only she can do it now. You can ask her. Let me improve my ability to ask her to interfere in this, right? To do her medicine. You do. Hari Bhakti Vilas said a very interesting thing. And I think it's in Hari Bhakti Vilas 12. When Sanatan Pad and Gopal Bhattapad are discussing the mandatoriness of Ekadasi. I have it in this book. Dearest to Vishnu. And sannyasis are the most munificent of those with hard drives. So, there it says that if you're unable to fast, then somebody else can fast on your behalf. Some Brahmin, some sadhu, some sadvi, family member, but you cannot pay them for it. You cannot remunerate them for it. And then Sanatan Pad lays the bombshell that if you fast on behalf of somebody else, you get 100 times the benefit as if you fasted for yourself. This is sasta. Cheap and best. The idea of it is that, in our individual capacity, we can upgrade. You have your institutional capacity that tells you no grains and beans, 25 rounds. Think of Govinda, right? That's basically the bottom line for the public. But in your individual capacity, you can do nirjal, you can do jagran, stay up all night. And the next day you can offer the punya. My dear Lord, if you are pleased by my seva, please help XYZ obtain your lotus feet. That's good. That covers your lajja, your sharam, that I never did anything for my grandmother, grandfather, my uncle, my rascal child, you know. Here's something I can do for them. Krishna, please, you do it. I cannot do it, nah. Please, you do it. Rani, I cannot do it, nah. You can do anything. Please do it. If you're pleased, please do it. That's nice. And you don't lose because in your individual capacity, you became a better devotee yourself. And then you requested him, if you're pleased, could you please do it? It doesn't have to happen in your lifetime, although it would be good, nah. And they know it too. They know it too. Another funny one, when I was with him in Belarus, and one of his disciples is really nut, and he wanted to get married. And I said, he'll never make it, because I never tried. At least I had enough brains to understand that I'm not, if you're not fit for a job, don't put your resume, you know? So it's like, but this guy was worse than me. That makes you feel pretty good, no? If somebody's worse than you, materially, they'll never make it. Because I would never make it. So he'll never make it, you know? Then I asked him, what is your definition of a basket case? In American English, a basket case means they're not just simply mundane, useless. They're so useless they have to be carried around in a basket. They are really useless. Really useless persons. But of course, you know, every cup finds its lid, and you'll find a match somewhere that's ready to give you the choice, you know? Ready to give you an opportunity, because you can throw them away, you know? Belarusian, Russian culture, Ukrainian culture, they get divorced easy. You can get divorced easy. Sure, we'll give them a chance. If they don't fit the bill, we just throw them, you know? That's their culture, so-called. In any case, so I said, what is your definition of a basket case? He answered it, my definition is that they're better than when I saw them 6 months ago. I loved it. So that is the nature of preaching. All right, let them improve something. Incrementally. If they incrementally improve, well and good. I gave them Tulsi neck beads, and I'm going to back it by doing more tapasya and ekadasi and request, Tulsi Rani, please do something for this person. And then I'm going to watch them. Are they incrementally improving? Indirectly. They may not become, you know, bhaktas overnight, but you're slowly reeling them in. You know, vegetarianism. According to their brain substance, you're preaching to them what they can take. And you're remaining their friend from a distance, and you're slowly reeling them in. And after, you know, 1 year, 6 months, 10 years, nah. The example of that was my god sister, Labangala Tika. She must be pushing 70 now. She was always a pracharik and a book distributor. So at her son's betrothal in Juhu once, must have been 87 something. When her son was getting married to a Grant Road Gujarati girl, then she had her second husband. Labangala Tika understood at 45, ISKCON doesn't have their act together to take care of unmarried ladies. So she got married again to a congregational Vaishnava who was an executive of Chemco, think in Roha. And when I saw Prakash, her husband, he was really black-faced. And I thought, Labangala Tika has got her work cut out for her. Okay? Then, as I saw her and her husband in Vrindavan, 6 months later, he was more bright-faced. He was chanting 8 rounds. Labangala Tika's medicine is working. Then, a year later, I saw them again at Kartik, and he was chanting 16 by then. Great. Fully bright-faced, nice. Labangala Tika did it. Yeah, that's what preaching is about. You take an obstacle and you turn it into an opportunity. How to do it? By your own achar, by your own example. So it's wonderful. She did it wonderfully, and it's proper. How to take somebody and turn them into a devotee by your own achar. So it's so nice. So if you can say, I gave him Tulsi neck beads, it was not good, nah. But at the same time, let us be patient and see how it works over years. How they'll improve over years. And the same time, when you're giving that dakshina of Tulsi neck beads to somebody, you're like, I have to be responsible for this. I'm responsible for you to become a better person. Indirectly. They may think, oh, I just bought something. You know, I bought some Tulsi neck beads from the dukan, and, you know, I exchanged the money and that's the end of it. That's the end of my responsibility. But a devotee's heart goes a little deeper, a little softer. I'm responsible. Let me try to help this jiva for many, many long years and help them improve. Or kya? More questions there in relation to the class? In relation to the class, about her question about Tulsi neck beads or something, I kind of think that it was both fathers' idea that after some time, things should work out. Vrishabharva's idea is that my spiritual master should not curse me. I'm surrendering to his daughter. And eventually, my daughter will go along with it and, you know, everything will work out in the wash in the end. That was the idea. Huh? That was the idea. It did. Because whatever was destined to happen, you know, Sharmishta got what she wanted, and Devayani got what she wanted, you know, and it all worked out in the wash. It did work out. Yes, Prabhu. Egg minute. क्या होगा? खराब हो गई क्या? Battery down होगा? Operation successful, patient died. You have to change the battery now. Jorsi Bola.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. My question is on the conduct of the Acharya Shukracharya. It seems that liquor was served to him and he partake of it, and it seems that he had human flesh in the form of ash. So is this conduct because he was serving the Asuras, or it is expected in that time and age?
Shukra Acharya, Ushana, Kavi Nam Ushana Kavi. Interesting. In Gita, in the Vibhuti Yoga, it mentions Kavi Nam Ushana Kavi. We never know who is this Kavi, Ushana. Who is him? It's another name for Shukra Acharya. He's a representative of Krishna. Interesting. But Shukra Acharya means one who is expert in expelling semen. He was expert in family life. So, you sign the contract, you have to go the long way. When you sign a marriage contract, you're in it for life, 40 years plus, you know. You're in jail for 40 years plus. And you have to make sure you're like your jailmate, you know. If you really get on with your jailmate, then yeah, you try it. Shukracharya was a householder. You have to make the best use of a bad bargain. Tatiksha. One devotee says, when I was a brahmachari, I never knew what tolerance was. By the time I got married, it's too late. You have to be very tolerant, but it's too late now. You're forced to be tolerant. Some people need that medicine now, so it's good for them. If it forces him and her to both love Krishna at the end of their life, then it was necessary. I have an understanding of that. There's a very heavy pujari in Krishna Balaram Mandir serving Krishna Balaram. He's a gaonwala and he's very headstrong. Very heavy guy. He married a girl from Bombay. She was 35 when she got married. She was like an MBA and she's fat. You know, it was the last guy that she could, you know, blind, you know, just grab some guy. You're 35. If you don't get married now, that's the end of it. So she just grabbed him, okay? And I thought, it'll never work out, nah. How is it compatible? This is a Bengali gaonwala, you know? Can't even sign his name, and he's marrying an MBA? You know, how is it compatible? So I went to Vibhu Chaitanya, my godbrother, who happened to be his roommate. And I would tell him, Are Vibhu Chaitanya ji, kripaya, but, you know, kripaya shiksha dedi was cool. He'll never make it. Hum kuch nahi bolega. Why not? Then my godbrother Bhuvaneswar walked by and goes, relax, they deserve each other. So I cooled off. They deserve each other. Yeah. What happened was, because she was very fatty and she didn't reduce the obesity, right? On Jamshedpur station, she had a massive heart attack and died. A couple years later. So he's a widow. He's still wearing white. He's serving Krishna Balaram. But he's quite humble. And that's what Krishna Balaram did. Yeah, you think of us and become very humble. So it was an arrangement that Krishna Balaram made for him so that you will think of us and you become very humble. Yeah, We'll give you this marriage. It's for a short term, you know, for a few years until she dies. And you'll become very humble after that, you know. Lifetime humble. So it's not bad. Krishna does it. It's in Brahma Samhita, in Shloka 59, it's referred to in the Tikka, Jiva Goswami's Tikka, as Gona Bhakti Yoga. It's a material situation which is conducive for your spiritual advancement. Krishna just gave him what the exact medicine they needed to help them out. In this case of Shukracharya, I think it was more or less his swabhava. He was Shukracharya. He was expert in passing semen and having family life. And, you know, he was accepting all the ramifications that went around it, like that. His anger, his affection for his daughter was within his role of being a spiritual master. Everything was within role. And Vrishabhaparva's reply was perfectly in his role as a father and perfectly in his role as a disciple. It's all quite nice. There's so many ways you can look at it. And everybody learns from it. From the incident, there's so many ramifications that learn from it. So it's all well and good. But ramifications mean abhyasanam. How are we going to apply it? So what we learn from this is something that should be applied. That's how I see it. And if Krishna purifies you in the fire of ordeal, then it was well and good. It was good purification. It was good purification. All the purification from all around was all right. According to the time they lived and according to the ramifications for the public, it was well and good. Thanks for the question, Prabhu. How are we doing? We have 20 minutes left. In relation to the class.
Thank you, Shabu. Thank you for your class. Shukracharya was a great Brahman, he was a renounced person. But when you see his life, he had two disciples. One was a prince and one was a Brahmin. And when one of the disciples is killing another disciple, he takes no action for that. Second thing, he has a daughter. He simply takes no action on the another disciple. Then he has a daughter who is wrong. So he does not even try to explain or talk to her. And then also, basically, he is responsible for everything that ultimately happens around him because he's not taking action at the right time. Am I understanding it right?
First thing is you have to look in Mahabharata to see who is the Tikka Acharya. Baladeva Vidyabhushan has one Tikka. He's written a Tikka in Mahabharata. So Shukracharya's actions in regards to his daughter should be seen through the Tikka Acharya. Okay? Second of all, from a father's perspective and a Brahmana's perspective, we should not think that Shukracharya didn't try to talk to his daughter. I think that is a little presumptuous on our part to not give a father credit where it would do, that he tried to intellectually. And considering that his daughter is a Brahmani, she should have an intellectual bent of mind. Think that Shukracharya wouldn't intellectually try to convince his daughter. A Brahmana should convince a Brahmani by intellectual understanding. Like that. So we have to give credit to the Acharya that he tried, you know, like that. Same time, there are ramifications. There are different, he's wearing different caps. He's a father. At the same time, he's an Acharya, you see? So there's so many perspectives that have to be seen in this story. At the same time, those who live in glass houses should not throw stones. The question is that, what would I do if I was in Shukracharya's shoes? You follow? It's like that. Another thing to look at is that when you look at the Samvad, if there's a tikka, and if you seek deeper into the matter, what was Shukracharya's position? What is Devayani's position? What is Sharmistha's position? And the time there. And if you look at other aspects of what was the Vedic age like, what was the peer pressures in the society like, and their decisions are being forced by that, you know. So many things. If I was in a certain circumstances, what would I do? You know? And because Kali Yuga is fallen like that, then whatever Shukracharya did and Devayani and Sharmistha did in retrospect in comparison to Kali Yuga is quite exalted. You know? Even a demon is probably, in Vedic culture, is probably more exalted than our devotees nowadays. We have nothing to crow about. We should always try to improve, you know? I think there's so many ways of looking at it. So many ways of looking at it. There was Maharaji, when Maharaji raised their hand or something behind you, somebody had some question behind you? Somebody had some question behind? Somebody rose their hand here. Let's take the generic questions now. Your time has come. Huh?
Krishna, actually I have two questions, so I'll ask the relevant question first. One was regarding anger. Most of the time, actually, if we think about an event when we got angry, we realize that it is actually due to our own attachment, our own misgiving, and then we take it out on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, you talk about being short, should be short-lived. But the fact is that most of the time when we get angry, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it is related to anything else, it's actually due to our own short-lived. And it's not really what the person deserves. So how does one try and ensure that anger is used in the right manner? And how does one really review this? Is it a daily process?
I got angry today, sure.
How does one actually manage this?
When I answer Sri Ananda's question, Dambad Mahadupasaya, you serve a great soul. Jayadvaita Swami says you don't need more renunciates. We need grandfathers and grandmothers. That's what we need. We need counselors, grandmothers and grandfathers. Been there, done that. So the idea of it is that by the fire of ordeal, by making mistakes, you learn. By serving a great soul, you learn forbearance, like this. And a lot of respect is there that somebody can perform under pressure. Under pressure, when they can control their mind and senses, under pressure, they're really good. You see, that really sets them apart, like that. So therapeutic anger is part of it. Like when Bhrigu Muni kicked Brahma. No, first he insulted Brahma. He insulted Brahma. He didn't offer him respect. So Brahma got angry, but he controlled his anger. So Bhrigu Muni understand that Brahma is in the mode of passion, but he can control his passion. So it was a nice, you know, analysis of the nature of persons practically. Some people will test their resolve by acting out of line, you know, like this. So it's... And what is my job? My job is to set an example. So it's like, and if you don't, well, then there's ramifications of it. Everything is a progress in motion. For the well-wishers who make mistake, they also lament, I should have done it another way. I should have dealt with the situation another way. But everything is in Krishna's hands. And if one is sincere, indeed, all parties will be purified. All parties eat. Everybody made a mistake. The offender made a mistake and the teacher made a mistake. But everybody will become rectified by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in due course. You don't like it, but it was destiny. I had to go through with it. It was good for me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that tumara sebai dukkha hoye jato se to parama sukha seva sukha dukkha parama sampad nashaya vidya dukkha. This is in Sharanagati 8th section, 8th bhajan, shloka number 5 or 6. This Atma Nivedan bhajan has to be one of the happiest bhajans in Sharanagati, really. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says something quite grave, that service, tomara sebai dukko hoye jato, in your service, miseries in your service will be the greatest, se to paramasukha will be the greatest happiness for me. Seba sukha dukkha, whether I, in your service, whether I enjoy or suffer, nashaya vidya dukkha, they destroy the ignorance of illusion. Your eyes are opened. It's good. If all parties learn, their eyes are open. No, it's good. What's wonderful is that when you cannot do something because of our own failing, then Bhagawan Godena Parega. It's like a rip 1 rupee note. You cannot change it, no? So Bhagawan Godena Parega, put it in the hundi, no? So, but what's interesting is that I made a mistake as a parent, as a boss, or something. You take it out on somebody. It's good for my improvement, ultimately. I had to take that slap. I had to take the ramifications of it. I lost the employee or something like that. Or, you know, my child's mind got blown for 2, 3, 4 years. I lost contact with him for 2, 3, 4 years. It improved me. It allowed me to become a better person, a better human being, a better devotee. And otherwise, unless I got that distress, how would I have improved my akadasi? You know? How would I improve my chanting of the holy name, my akadasi vratam, my service to the devotees, if I hadn't gone to that? So, in retrospect, like Surapriya Mata, you know, from Pune, I really thank Krishna that he came in the form of my cancer. I would have never given up my tendency to be a, you know, just a Hindu housewife, enjoy your children, and enjoy your sense gratification with your husband. I would have never given that up. I was forced to accept a spiritual master, accept the sadhana practice, accept Bhagavatam. All because of the cancer. Cancer was great. It forced you to surrender. Like the Devi Ganandan Das, he had leprosy by offending Srivas Thakur. The Gaudiya Vaishnav Jivan Itihasa about the story does not tell us that Devi Ganandan Das's leprosy was finished by the mercy of Gaur and Nitai and the situation, the mercy of Srivas Thakur. And the mercy of Purushottam Das Thakur, Nityananda's Priyapatra, his spiritual master. He didn't say, but it doesn't matter. Because even if the papa, Vaishnava Aparada Papa, in the form of the leprosy, even if it took its course and he died, at least the mentality was destroyed. That's obvious by Vaishnava Vandan, by Devi Kinandan Das. When you read that bhajan, it's obvious his mentality was completely reformed by it. And there's even more. There are three other bhajans that are mentioned in Bhakti Tattva Sar that are attributable to Devi Kinandan Das. Probably Agata Kavitas, but they're very good bhajans about the Vaishnava Seva there in Bhakti Tattva Sar. And they're attributable to him. But it's nice. All's well that ends well. So what? Let the body die. The body's going to die today or tomorrow anyway. Everyone is on the path of death. So all's well that ends well. Ultimately, if the mentality is purified, then even if the body was thrown, and then another tattvasya lakshana is that if the leprosy continued, don't offend the Vaishnavas. That slap may be held by you for the rest of your life. So it's quite good. Both aspects are there. Is there any other generic questions? We have 6 minutes. Any other greedy person have another question? We had enough on the men, nah? The ladies have to give one question more. You're maybe 25% of the population here, but you have to give me at least one more question, okay? Anyone ready? Come on. Anybody greedy? Come on, come on. Give something. You're not a lady now. Maybe in the future you can become a Manjari or something, you know. Worship Gopeshwar Mahadeva. There are many girls that want to become Sakas. And they worship Gopeshwar Mahadeva. And many men want to give up their Purusha Bhava and become Manjaris. Worship Gopeshwar Mahadeva. You get what you want, you know. Wait. You know, either case, you know, Gopeshwar Mahadeva will help you get whatever you want, so it's no problem. Is there any other question from the ladies, kindly? He's raising his hand because he's hoping you're not going to give me a question. He's hoping that you're not going to give me a question. You should show him wrong, no? You should give me a question. come on, give me something, nah. You never know what they're going to ask. Could be the most strangest thing, which I could turn around. Who knows? Give me something, nah. Time is getting shorter. We lost 1 minute. We lost 1/6 of the time by waiting for you. Should I give up? All right, Prabhu. I gave up. How may I serve you? Hurry, Baba. We got 4 minutes. Fat to fat. Why does what? Why does Bhagavan want what? Why does he want bhakti? Bhakti is the inherent is the inherent lakshana of the jiva. Devotion is the inherent lakshana of the jiva. Sanitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraiva sa. Brahma Samhita said, so if we have nitya sambandha, then it means that bhakti is an inherent quality of the jiva. Purified jiva, the inherent quality of the purified jiva is devotion for Krishna, inherently. Inherently. So, Prabhupada was answering it in the lecture, that I'm a big man, I want. You cannot say, why does he have so many servants? He's a big man, he wants, nah. So why does God have so many servants? He's the biggest man, he wants. That's one way of looking at it. The other way is that bhakti is the inherent nature of the jiva. When it's purified, shravanadi shuddha chitte kara eudoi, then this love of Godhead automatically comes out. So the question of purified association devotion rises. Tada bhaktir ratir anu krameshyati. Step by step, devotion increases.
That is the right way.
What is the right way of what? I like Haridas Thakur's instruction. In Antyalila 3:137, Nirantara Nam Lao, chant Krishna's name constantly. Kara, do with your hands. Tulasi Sevon, serve her, Anacharat Pabhi Tabar Krishna Racharan. And very quickly you'll get Krishna's lotus feet. I like that instruction. That instruction means it's a complete package. Chant Krishna's name, serve Tulsi Devi, very quickly you get Krishna's lotus feet. That's what we're here for. And then that drew you in, the interest in. And then Shloka 141 shows exactly what she did. Krishna Dasi. We don't have any time for it. Read on, 141. That's what she did. Jai Radha Gopinath. Jai Nachi Bhagawan. Jai Gornatai. Jai Tulsi Rani. Hare Krishna.